Glad to see everyone here with us this morning. We'll be turning our Bibles over to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, begin reading with me in verse 7. We'll notice our passage for this morning. Neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these things happened unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. Let's put with that verse 13. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. You know, oftentimes we may wonder, how do we deal effectively with temptation? And I believe the answer lies here in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 7 through 13. And when we think of dealing effectively with temptation, there are some things that we need to take into consideration. Number one, we need to take into consideration that we need to admit that temptation exists. We need to admit that temptation exists. 1 Corinthians 10, 7 through 12 tells us there, especially verse 12, that a man who thinks he stands had better take heed lest he fall. Now the word there thinks is a word that means that supposes himself. The word stand means to be of a steadfast mind. So a man that supposes himself all over here to think that he is of a steadfast mind, he needs to take heed or beware lest he fall. That is, lest he fall into condemnation. Friends, what is the message that Paul is sending to us here? We need to be on guard at all times. If we're going to deal effectively with temptation, we need to admit, number one, that temptation exists, and we need to take heed right now. We need to beware of our surroundings lest we fall into condemnation. Friends, opportunity may only knock once, but temptation beats at our door every day. Something comes along each day that tempts us. Now, we may not always give in. Hopefully, we don't. We should not. But temptation is real. Temptation exists. And it's out there, and we have to deal with it if we're going to live this Christian life. Friends, each and every person has his own individual weaknesses, but the type and intensity of these weaknesses should change over time. If we know what our weaknesses are, what should we do? We should work on them. We should try to become stronger in those areas. We should strive to come to a point where those things are no longer really that tempting for us. They shouldn't be weaknesses forever. And so we ought to, our weaknesses should, the type and intensity of those should change over time. But friends, realize as well that there's a difference between temptation and addiction. There's a difference between the two. We still need to overcome whatever may be an addiction. But friend, there's a difference. If we're going to deal effectively with temptation, number two, we need to anticipate temptation. If we admit temptation exists and we anticipate temptation, that can help us from falling into addiction. But anticipate temptation, we are to anticipate it when it's not imminent, when it's not right around the door, right around the corner, when it's not beating on our door per se. Turn with me over to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. Notice what Paul says here concerning the armor. We're going to begin reading in verse 10. Ephesians 6, beginning in verse 10, we read, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the day, in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all things, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Friends, when we think of this armor, if we're going to anticipate temptation, what does a soldier do when he anticipates going into battle? He puts his armor on. He doesn't rush in the battle and then remember, I forgot to put my helmet on. I forgot to put on my breastplate. I forgot to put my armor on. He doesn't do that, friends. We need to have that armor on before we ever enter into the battle, before we join into it. What are we to do? Well, friends, we need to use God's strength. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 1 says, "Thou therefore, my son," Paul writing to Timothy, "be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." Use God's strength. He's given us His Word for a purpose. We know that God is able to overcome and that we can overcome through God. We're mindful of Joshua and Caleb, that they relied upon the strength of God. Caleb at 80 years old when they finally entered into the land of Canaan. What is his phrase to Joshua? "Give me this mountain." 80 years old, he goes up against the sons of Anakim, giants in the land. How was he able to do that? Not by his own strength, but by the strength of God. Friend, if we're going to avoid temptation, if we're going to deal effectively with temptation, rather, we've got to anticipate, and we do that by using God's strength. We know, friends, that God is stronger than Satan. Turn with me over to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Begin reading with me in verse 35. We know that God is stronger than Satan. We read there, beginning of verse 35, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." God is stronger than Satan. Notice what Paul says here. Notice what he tells us in this passage. As we look there, he says, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ?" None of the things that he lists are able to do such. He's persuaded, he says, verse 38, "Neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God." What does that tell us about God's strength? He's stronger than Satan. We should be able to overcome. If we're going to anticipate temptation, friends, we need to understand the enemy. We read in John 8 and verse 44 that he is the father of all lies and the father of all liars. So what do we understand about temptation? What do we understand about Satan, friends? When Satan's opening his mouth, he's lying. We need to understand that. Understand our enemy. No man goes to battle without understanding what he's going up against. He needs to understand the enemy. Revelation 12 and verse 9 describes Satan as a serpent and a deceiver. A deceiver. Friends, we need to understand what he is. If we're going to anticipate temptation, we need to realize that truth is everything. John 17 and verse 17, "Thy word is truth." John 8 and verse 32, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free," or shall set you free. Truth is everything. Friends, we have a standard in God's Word by which we are to judge everything. When temptation comes along, understand what truth is and that it means and is everything. Understand, friends, if we are to anticipate temptation, that the gospel will take us where we need to go. Notice with me Romans chapter 1 and verse 16. The gospel will take us where we need to go. Romans 1 and verse 16 says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." Not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Why? For it is the power of God unto salvation. Friends, we need to understand that. The gospel will take us where we need to go. And don't, friends, do not forget to be defensive. 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 18 says we need to flee Satan. That's one of our defenses against temptation. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 22 tells us to flee temptation. Don't forget to be defensive. Also, when we think about anticipating temptation, friends, we need to use our head and our sword. 2 Timothy 1 in verse 8 tells Timothy, Paul writing there says, "Do not be ashamed of the gospel or of me." James 4 and verse 7 says to resist the devil and he will flee from you. And friends, finally, when we anticipate temptation, pray and persevere. In Luke 18 and verse 1, speaking of Jesus, Luke records that he was teaching that men ought always to pray. Men everywhere ought always to pray and not to faint. Pray and persevere. We can push through. We're able to overcome. Dealing effectively with temptation, we must admit temptation exists. We must anticipate temptation. Number three, we need to avoid temptation. Avoid temptation. James 1 and verse 14 lets us know what temptation is, what sin ends up becoming. Lust, man is drawn away of his own lust and enticed, and that, friends, equals desire and opportunity. Lust plus enticement equals desire and opportunity. The word there, enticed, means or equals a bait or lure or to catch by using bait. Any good fisherman knows that he needs, when he's out there fishing, he's got to find the right bait, the one that the fish like. And that's what Satan is trying to do with each one of us. He wants to find the one that you like. And he's going to put it out there time after time after time. Hoping for a nibble. Hoping for a bite. And then what's he going to do? He's going to set the hook. Each man is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Friends, understand that. And avoid it. If you know what your weaknesses are, and you want to build upon it, you want to become stronger, you got to stay away from it. Romans 12, verses 1 and 2, gives us a good idea as far as avoiding temptation. Paul says, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren." He's begging the Roman brethren, "by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." Verse 2. "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Friends, we eliminate lust, we eliminate that desire by renewing the mind. So we eliminate desire by renewing the mind. So how do we get rid of the opportunity? Let's turn over to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Beginning in verse 26. "Be ye angry and sin not," Paul says. "Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth." Key in there on verse 27. "Neither give place to the devil." Don't get in the opportunity. Stay away from it. There's a movie out there, Fireproof. I believe many have seen it. It has a religious theme to it, not put out by the Lord's church, but the overall background and plot of the story is a good one. And in that particular movie, the main character, portrayed by Kirk Cameron, is addicted to pornography. And his wife has called him on several occasions, and he finally, as the movie progresses, he finally begins to beat this temptation, this addiction, and he begins to put away the computer. He stays away from it, and when he finally comes to terms with it, to avoid the temptation, to get rid of it, to eliminate the opportunity, he takes a baseball bat to the computer. He got rid of it. He understood what his temptation was. He understood what he had to do to get rid of it. And so what did he do? He eliminated his opportunity. He got rid of it. Friends, if I understand what my weakness is, that I may not at some point, at a given point, have the strength to deal with it, then what do I need to do? Stay away. Run as fast as I can in the opposite direction. In Matthew 6 and verse 13, though, we have another way. Jesus says that we are there to pray for deliverance from temptation. Deliver us from temptation. Avoid it. Admit temptation exists. Anticipate temptation. Avoid temptation. Apprehend temptation. In other words, get a grip. In James chapter 1, 13 through 16, we learn there that God is never, understand this, friends, God is never the source of temptation. God is not tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man, James tells us. In Romans 3, 23, and Romans 6 and verse 23, we learn there that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God and thus are worthy of death. However, 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 4, 2 Peter 3 and verse 9. We learn that God is patient, that he is long-suffering. Why? Because he wants everyone to be saved. He wants all to be saved, to come to the knowledge of the truth. We can learn a great deal here from Job, can't we? Job chapter 1 and chapter 2. At the end of chapter 1, he says that the Lord has given, the Lord has taken away. At chapter 2 and verse 9 and 10, there after Job himself has been stricken with boils from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet, he loses finally the support of his wife. His wife comes out and says, "Do you still retain your dignity? Job, why don't you just curse God and die?" And he says, "You speak as one of the foolish women. Naked I came into this world, naked I shall go out." Job understood. Friends, we need to understand temptation. We need to apprehend it. Get a grip on it. Understand as well that as we look here, as we understand what the Bible says to us concerning temptation, that whatever our circumstance may be, we're not special. Whatever I may be going through at a given time, someone else is bound to have gone through it. Someone else is bound to go through it at some point or another. So understand that. Get a grip on that. Understand as well, friends, that if Jesus underwent trials upon this earth, the servant is not above his master, Matthew 10 and verse 24. We'll undergo trials. Understand that. Admit temptation exists. Anticipate temptation. Avoid temptation, apprehend temptation. Number 5, avert temptation. Here are some things to remember. Notice again 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 13. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 13. "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man." Remember what we just said about no one being special concerning temptation? Paul just said it right there. "There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man." Everybody has gone through that same type of trials, or somebody has, some point in time. But notice the rest of the passage. "But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. Friends, there is no temptation too strong that we cannot overcome. Paul tells us as much right there in verse 13. We can overcome. The question is, do we want to? We've got to want to escape. We need to remember these ways of escape. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 10 through 11, Paul there outlines the consequences of sin. Understand what the consequences are if we fall, if we give way to the temptation. Sometimes the consequence may simply be the guilty feeling that I get. It may be that I need to remember that guilty feeling after I've committed, after I've given in to a certain temptation to avoid that temptation when it comes up again. I need to remember the consequences. In James 1 and verse 12, even though, as 2 Corinthians tells us, we must remember the consequences, friends, we can also remember the blessing of overcoming temptation. James 1 and verse 12 tells us such, that when we overcome temptation, patience will have her perfect work. We'll be able to be stronger. Finally, number 6, appreciate temptation. Turn with me to Psalm 119 and verse 71. Psalm 119, notice with me verse 71. Notice what the psalmist says here. It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. Friends, temptation, trials can be a good thing. Overcoming temptation helps me to know God. Job 23 and verse 10, we learn that overcoming temptation can make me more like the Lord. We read James 1 and verse 12, that overcoming temptation proves my love for God. How do we deal effectively with temptation? How are we going to be able to overcome these things? Friends, it's simple in one way, difficult in another. But we must remember to try to put these things into practice. If we're going to deal effectively with temptation, friends, we need to admit that temptation exists. We need to learn to anticipate temptation. We must avoid temptation. We must apprehend temptation, come to grips with it. We must avert temptation, remember some things. And friends, we must appreciate temptation. Understand that when we overcome temptation, good things come from it. Let's put away our Bibles. Let's take out our psalm books. We're ready to sing the invitation song in just a moment. Friend, are you here this morning having never obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ? Jesus is able to forgive us our sins as He died upon the cross and shed His blood for the remission of our sins. Are you here this morning needing the remission that His blood promises? Friend, do you believe in Jesus Christ, that He died upon that cross for you? Are you willing then, friend, to repent of your sin, to confess His name before men, and to be baptized, immersed in water, to come in contact with His blood so that it may wash you clean, may make you white as snow? Friend, are you here this morning having fallen away? Have you given in to temptation to go back into the world? Would you come home? Would you be His again? Begin dealing effectively with it now. Will you come now as we stand and as we sing?